We thank God that we are able to come together tonight. We ask the Beloved to hear all our prayers and our heartfelt gratitude. And that as we have this conversation, that Divine Spirit, that Holy Spirit will speak and bring us clarity, empowerment, awakening, and comfort. So I now call upon each of you, whatever questions you may have. And let's start with that question. The divine wisdom lead us through. Amen.
I have a question. We've been talking a lot about, you know, looking at whether through Bible study with the Old Testament, and then also some of the things that were talked about when we were all together in the retreat, about the importance of the spiritual importance of blood, you know, and why sacrifice has been such a common theme through almost every religion, including the foundation of Christianity and Islam and Judaism, as well as more natural religions. And I just wonder if you could share some knowledge about what is it about blood that is so spiritually important?
If I may paraphrase the question, what is the importance of blood in the spiritual growth and consciousness of humanity? Because all the paths, whether they are main paths or little paths, they all have one form or the other of offering blood as a way for appropriation. It's an offering, it's a gratitude. What we have discovered is that blood is life and is in everything. I mean, absolutely everything. The sap of a tree, that is their blood. If you take even a shrub and you break the leaves, you will see something come, that is the blood there. Even the rock has its own blood, because rock has a life. It's like if you look at the incense called dragon's blood, it is sort of crystallized. But then when you start to burn it, then you see it bubbles up. Any resins, you see the blood. It's because blood is the all-sustaining energy of the Christ consciousness. That's why it's in everything. And because in the old days, part of their false discovery, maybe through spirit informing them, is that they know, because we have to recognize that those days were, they are farmers, let's put it that way. Very little, everybody cultivates their land and all of that. And so they find that even when you till the soil, so those earthworms, you see them, yeah, things. So they've discovered that in order for them to be sustained, other than the air they breathe, you know, the offering of all the other animals and all of that, and they don't go to the grocery store because nobody had a grocery store. So they eat what they are able to kill. But the most important is they felt, anytime you make an offering of blood, for those of you who have never tried it, there is a shift in energy. And it doesn't mean you should go and just cut something just to fill the blood. Your heartfelt need must go along with it, because whatever gives up their life for you to be sustained, then that's an offering. And because of that, that person, that thing gives up the life and it awakens us. There is a shift. No one can tell you this until you experience it one way or the other. Don't take my word for it. Before you eat your veggies, your salad, at least you can try that. Try and make it as an offering. Even when you are breaking the leaf, see what comes out. Make it as an offering. If your heart is in it, you will feel a shift in the sense of your whole thing. So, and as we look into the scriptures, where they say, make an offering unto me, you know. Because why will God speak, at least for those of us who are following Christianity, why would God speak to the Hebrews and say, make an offering to me, if he doesn't make any shift? It's the same thing as like incense, like I described, the dragon's blood, frankincense, myrrh, Sumatra, what's it called? Benzoin. You find that in the scriptures, make an offering of incense to God, they said, because it carries the energy. That's what spirit, the angels, the God himself can receive that, because the blood of those incense, those things are offered. So blood is important because is the line, is the energetic line of life. You know, brain is fine, but brain even has its own blood, you know, vessels. So, and when you go deeper in spirit, you will see there's a connecting cord between the physical earth, the astral, and the causal. So one of the ways you can tell if you are no longer in your physical body, it's like there's a demarcation. Like some of you have heard, they will say the silver cord holds you in. And when you look at a child being given birth to, remember the umbilical cord that they have to, yeah. Because that's life. And if you are doing some kind of ceremony, even a little itty bitty drop of your blood, that is your energy right there. That's why we encourage you, don't give your blood for somebody else. Because if you do it, that person will be feeling great when their prayers are answered, and it could go for 3 months or 6 months. You will feel lousy. The energy, because now they are riding on your energy. And I think during the retreat, I said something about that. So, and that's why Jesus himself, and that's what they say, he gave up his life, gave his blood. Yeah. So blood is the power that not only sustains you, but connects you to the invisibles. And that's why you see it in natural path, natural ways of, you see it in Christianity, although now Christians, we say because Jesus has offered himself, so we don't need to spill the blood. You name it, in Hinduism, in Islam, you know, because you see if, say during Ramadan, also, they will slaughter ram to celebrate, you know. Because there's a powerful connection between them. But other than the breath of life, the next thing for anyone in the physical realm is the blood. Does that answer the question?
Yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
I studied the Sermon of Mountain, the Beatitudes. Could you explain more about that prayer? I print it out so you can read it and you can explain it.
And you have to speak up so that they can hear. Yeah.
Yes.
You may have to give all of your microphone.
Sure. If you can go deeper in explaining the meaning of that prayer.
The question is, the deeper meaning of the Beatitudes in the Gospel of Matthew that was spoken by Lord Jesus Christ. When he saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he had sat down, his disciples came to him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." It goes on and on. I don't think I'm going to go through all of this. And if you really want to get the depth of this, there is a book by Fox. Is it Matthew Fox?
I'll find out.
Yeah, that gives, it gives that deeper perspective. So what does it mean to be poor in spirit? For theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Emmett
Fox, thank you. In the elements, that is foundation of this world. And that's why when we make our own prayers and invocation, we should always ask that the elements be balanced in us and in our atmosphere and environment. First is spirit that connects us. Then you have air, you have fire, you have water, then you have earth. And each of us, depending on the composition of individual souls, your body is made of those elements. Some have more fire in them, you know, but it balances out. Yeah. So, when they say poor, it does not mean the way we see it in terms of material poverty. You know? Poverty or being poor in spirit means you are free from desires. That desires that will take you away from recognizing that you are an immortal. You know, because if that desire wasn't there, all of us, we still live in that purity of spirit. Because when you are free from those desires, earthly desire, all the other, call it needs, what we call needs and responsibilities, guess what? It allows us to focus and live our spirit. And when you live our spirit, guess what? Nothing separates you from God. That's the point of it. That's why I say, For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Even in our meditation, when we see those thoughts come and all of that and all of that, we have to keep ourselves because we want to focus on God. We want to concentrate on that. For those, they might have all the money, the power, and all of the influence, but that doesn't guarantee them that they will be fully realized, and because there is a shift in their focus. And for anyone else to come to that place of realization, like Jesus and the masters have said, you have to give everything you got. Jesus said it, you know, worship God with your whole heart, with everything you got. Love God with your whole heart, with everything, and then love your neighbor. If you can do that, because then people will say, oh, all you care about is just love. Even when they slap you, you say love. Even when they cheat you, you say love, and all of that. And then when people say that, what do they think? They think you're an idiot. If you've ever seen people who are really nice, and I'm not talking faking it, it's just because they have achieved that. You can't really rankle them with your, you know, you can throw tantrums, you can do, they just say, you can cause them to their face, you know. And we've read stories about the saints, the one they cut off his hand. What did he do? He was still going about. So, and then it's like, okay, your hand is cut off, so what? He's focused on God. What did he do? He put his hand there and he was healed. Well, now that's what we call kingdom of God. Didn't they insult Jesus? Even on the death thing, didn't the robber say, well, if you are so great, the people are talking, why don't you get there? Did Jesus curse him? If he's a human, we will curse him out with our last breath. No. In spite of the pain, Jesus said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. So when you are at that point where you are focused on God, totally on God, guess what? People will think you are a doormat. Didn't the other guy try to get the binoculars that Shuri Tetsuo loaned him? And he tried to keep it. You said they should loan you. He said, okay, go use it. Then he wants to keep it. And he looked at him like, you are a saint. What do you need the binoculars for? And what did he say? Well, I might be a saint, but it's still my binocular. You better bring it back. We didn't complete it. If you don't bring it back, you will. Because love makes us stupid. When you see people are truly in love, I mean, it's like they are drunk. And then when anything hurts those they love, the deep, deep sorrow they feel, as if it happened to them. Even though that person may have just cursed them out, you know. Well, when did they say Jesus what? Wasn't it because Lazarus died? So when you look at that, you might look poor to the people on the outside, but to those who live in love, you are the wealthiest of all, and the kingdom of God belongs to you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We've all been in a position where things have happened to us. It doesn't mean we have to lose a child or a spouse, but when life gets really, really crazy, really choking, when we don't even know what to do, what do we result into? We cry. Maybe some of you don't cry. I've been in a position where I cried my eyeballs out. Because the tears that comes, you could actually say it's the tear of spirit, because your spirit wants to be free. Your spirit wants things to be nice, but things are not going well, you know?
Could it be the tear of cleansing? And does it cleanse that? Or maybe your heart comes, or
Well, you could say it's the tear of cleansing and all of the fact is for anybody to tear up other than those who easily tear up. Whatever is facing them is so deep that they don't know what the outcome will be. How do I resolve this? And it's not taught to anyone. It is part of our birthright, how we are composed. That when everything is fuddled up and all of that, we go back to the source. We intuitively recognize our immortality. We go back to the source and we cry for that source to come and bail us out. So when, and that's what we call mourning. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And then, if spirit comes, what happens? At a point, because we surrender everything when we don't know what to do. And then something comes that lifts us up. We may not even know how the thing will be resolved, but that spirit, that divine mother shows up. Something comes. It may not be right away because you might cry your eyeballs for 7 days. Yeah. But that's where spirit tells us, at the deepest of our dire strait, I am with you. And that's why they say, you want to get the attention of God? Now don't fake it because God will know. Emotion is good. When you really talk to God as if God is your own, you belong to God. In that emotion, in that, and you offer yourself and you ask for, something's got to shift. Even the angels who are sometimes, you know, like, oh, these earthly people, they are it again. We're always killing each other. Yeah, we ask for help. I mean, it never ceases. Even when those tears, because they know those are tears of remembrance, remembering who you are, that immortality, you, nobody else can comfort or console except the one who created you. Then you must be comforted. Because God is not that mean. Humans, we might do it to each other. I don't care if you cry, what, you cry blue, what was the expression? You cry your eyes until your eyes are red, or you cry blue, whatever, you know. Maybe I can't get the expression right. But when they say that, that means you can cry all you want. They are not going to blink. They are not going to do anything. But that's not the way of God. So blessed are those. Who mourn, for they will be comforted. Especially when you mourn, you want that God spirit. When you say, Lord, I don't care, you can make me a trillionaire, you can give me, I may be the most powerful and all of that, but that doesn't amount to anything. It is you I want. Because I know if I have you, if there's no separation, I'm going to be living in the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, we can be the most powerful, the most wealthy, and all of that. When death comes, it equalizes everything. Death doesn't know whether you are rich or poor, whether you go to church or not. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. In other words, we are accommodating. We've seen people who are, you know, they're just gentle, but don't take it for foolishness. When you cross a line, then the fire and then the line will come out. For you to be meek, that means you do more of listening than of talking. Because you may have met some people will say, oh, this one doesn't talk. But then when they open their mouth, you do more of listening, less of talking, and you let the wisdom of the Lord show. You don't have to talk all the time, but when you do talk, that wisdom is there. Now, I'm giving a totally different interpretation of what we've heard, because as I'm listening to spirit, Remember, they say if you want to have the best meditation, what's the first thing they tell you to do? Relax. You must relax your body, your mind, nothing is entangled. Relaxation is being meek. Because then you will inherit the land of meditation. You will inherit the path that leads to God. I hope we're recording this, because I'm learning something as we're speaking. And I definitely want to inherit the land. The land where there is no sorrow, no grieving, no mourning, no fear, no anxiety, no doubt. Because think about it for a minute. When everything is going your way, you will find that there's a way you are so relaxed, you are not anxious about anything. Even if somebody insults you, you just let it pass by. That's what they call being meek. A place of awareness, but is a place of surrender. Where you, don't they say, flow with, you know, go with the flow. And then when you go with the flow, what happens? Clarity comes to you. Because there's nothing that's pulling you apart or in conflict. You see what you need to do clearly, and you go for it. Because if you have the Midas touch, you know everything you do turns into gold, right? Might turn into emeralds too, and diamonds. That is a place of meekness. And because of that, then you are not locking the door against God. Because then you are open. And spirit can come at any time, and you will feel that presence. Well, let's leave it at that. Otherwise, we'll be here till kingdom come.
Thank you.
Any questions online? Okay.
I have a question. We talked about this a tiny bit in Bible study. We were referring to the participation of women, and I thought of a question about that.
Sure.
Can Spirit comment on why it is that we often see men maybe a little more than women in certain roles? So, for example, Jesus' disciples were men. The holy ones, like in the SRF lineage, are men for the most part. In many different saints and things, not 100%, but often we see men. So why is it that it tends to be, we tend to see maybe more men in those roles than women?
Other than the cultural participation, because cultures do evolve. And for spirit to lay foundation, we talk about Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, and all of them. When we really look deep into those spiritual religious paths, they are a reflection of their culture. There are certain things in the, God cannot be present in that way without integrating with the culture of the souls that needed there, that we worship God. So part of that reflects that. But now, and I'm sure it might not be during my lifetime, at a point, if life still continues, I'm sure there will be a female pope. Because there's no reason why they shouldn't, you know. But other than that, each of us have the male and female energy. And the male energy, which is the energy of reasoning, They can be caustic. Energy to push things through and all of that and all of that. We've had women who also walks like that and they push things through. Golda Meir of Israel, Margaret Thatcher, Indira Gandhi, you name it, they're all there. Sirleaf of Liberia. Because it's a question I've asked spirit. Why do they have more male, discipleship and all of that? Now, if you actually look at it, there are more female worshipers than those in place of leadership. Now, if everything is about reasoning, who is going to nurture the soul? And that's why you find that during Jesus' time, the male are put in the apostles or whatever. But who are the ones supporting? Without the female, there will be no ministry. Jesus' ministry won't be there. We read in the Bible study, Mary Magdalene and other and all. For some, we might think God is discriminating against women. It's not so. And we also have to realize that God is not a tyrant. Until her children wakes up where they can realize, when they can realize that whether you come in a male body or female body, it makes no difference. If you can imagine, if during Jesus' time all the apostles were female, Jesus' ministry won't even take. Because humanity has not waken up yet. I mean, we still see it. I mean, look at our beautiful country here. We want to think that women are not as smart as men. Have we elected one president that is a female? No. But the time will come, and when that shift comes, then you can't hold things back. The world still needs that nurturing, that motherhood, that carrying the weight instead of the man. The energy of male can be very restrictive. Because it's the energy to push things through. You can't push things through if it's not created. So you could say AI is the energy of the mother. Because it's creating, it's making things new. It's a new thing. Anytime there is a newness, a new invention and all of that, that's the female energy. Is needed. But then they overlook that. Without that, all these things we're enjoying, we will not. Then when it's created, then you need the male energy. Okay, now spread it. Go disperse it. And when you look at the human anatomy, it's the same. Without going into, So when humans wake up, we begin to see the difference. In our lineage, as far as I know, from when I was little, there have always been women in position of leadership. Even some of them, when they are in that, they are even more, let's just use the word, quote and unquote, I can't find the right expression, they are more powerful than their male counterparts. And the male counterparts recognizes them. And that's why if you go back into the Hebrew stories, Deborah, Esther, among the Yeah, God could have chosen a male to, but Deborah and Esther, weren't they the ones? Which one was it that was? Even the male commanders, they come. They say, I will not go to war unless she's with me, because they know the Spirit of God is with her, is guiding them. So until humanity begins to shift to a higher understanding, yeah, you will still have some leadership positions that are more of a male energy. But the female energy gives more, because anything that is initiated, anything that is created, that's the female energy. That's why they call Mother Earth. Because when you think of it, this house will not be here if there is no earth. You can't drive your car if there is no earth. You won't have food if there is no earth. Your airplane can't take off. I mean, you name it. But then we look at the sun. Oh, very. Do you guys see where I'm going with this? We wouldn't even know the sun is there if the earth is not there. As the one that embraces that whole thing in place. What do we know that is as powerful and vast as the ocean? Mountains might be there, but they are not as vast as all the oceans put together, as the body of water. And ocean and body of water, they are, it's female energy. They're always creating. They give life. They give life. But then people see the mountain. Oh, the male energy. Without that, even we've seen mountains inside the water. So until humanity understanding changes, where now they appreciate that, look, none of us would be here. We wouldn't be having this conversation if the female energy is not fully present. It gives birth, and then the male energy shows up. Okay. I mean, once you've been given all the ingredients you do, and you have the stipulation, it's easy to cook a meal, isn't it? So that's what we've observed in the scriptures and in all the position of leadership. And that's why sometimes it is said, just because you are in a female body doesn't mean you have to copy what the men are doing, what the male energy is doing. Because it might be that is what is needed for leadership. But then a human being might be in a female body, but all their disposition is masculine. So we need both of them in order to for things to continue to grow. If you take those women who were supporting Jesus' ministry away, where will the apostles get, where will they have the money? I mean, we can go more into it at another time. So does that answer the question?
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much.
Beloved, we are grateful for the opportunity. May your wisdom never depart from us. May your spirit continue to shine brightly upon us and bring us to a place of oneness, surrender, and celebration. We thank you, God, for your blessings. Amen.
Amen.